Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me?
Good morning. I am J. Marie Schaefer.
And I am J. Marie Schaefer. do you want me to be Debbie?
You can be Debbie.
Hi, I'm Debbie Verney. How are you?
Good.
You can be our first caller at 518-476-5900. I think we have seminars coming up.
Yes, very
good. How am I doing so far?
It's a very good Debbie. It's just looking at you and hearing that. It's like,
yeah,
okay.
You don't look like Debbie at all, so please stop being her. Okay.
This is the Herzog Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour, and we are going to talk this hour about all of your questions about estate planning, Medicaid, long-term care, guardianship, probate, and as Ben already said, we'd love to have you call in 518-476-5900 or toll-free at 1-800-WROW-590.
Yeah, it does make the time go by quicker, and you know, a lot of folks out there have the same questions. Some folks are less apt to ask them, and you're able to kind of make people think about what, you know, especially this time of the year, because you're getting towards the end of the year, so people start, you know, having family get-togethers, things like that between Thanksgiving and New Year's, and you might notice that, you know, mom or dad or both aren't doing as well as the last time you saw them, and, you know, things change. So
yeah, this is the time of year to see how your parents are doing, your grandparents are doing, check in on them. We actually are very busy this time of year.
Yeah.
Families call because they want to know what to do about their parents. Do they need to go into assisted living? Do they need home care? And we have a real Debbie here now.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I had a fake Debbie here for a while.
You had a fake Debbie?
Yep,
I was the fake Debbie.
I went right into it and asked for phone calls. So you could be our first caller. That's good.
Yep. Good job.
He did a great job.
There was a snow squall. It was snowing in Saratoga. Mm-hmm. And by I got to like exit 11, it was like total whiteout.
Whiteout.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is not good.
No.
But then it was done.
Yep.
So.
That's what a snow squall is supposed to do. In, out, done.
In, out, done. Well, yep. It did that.
Luckily, you got here safe.
Yes, I did.
That's important. You didn't speed through it.
That's it. So we haven't had any phone calls. So let's get some phone calls in here.
That's
518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. Or toll free 1-800-WROW-590.
And we have seminars coming up this month.
We do.
We are going to be talking about aging in place. Which is how you can stay home and get care. And as we were saying, as you're seeing your family around the holidays, if you see some differences, you know, maybe your parents need a little bit of help, this is something you could come to and learn about how to keep your parents at home and get care for them.
Well, we talk about some other stuff, too. I mean, but the main focus is on aging in place. We will kind of go over some of the documents that you need to be able to age in place. But these are seminars that we do in conjunction with Kim Hance, who's our geriatric care manager. So she's there to answer questions about what kind of help you can get at home.
That's right. And I love how she describes her role. She is a professional daughter.
I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that. She has the skill set, but she also has the compassion. So she's pretty amazing.
Yeah, she's great. She can really meet your folks and see exactly what they need and where you can get that help.
Yeah, we met with two sons this week in the Saratoga office. Actually, Monday, the big snow day, Monday.
Yes.
And their parents, the father is not as bad as the mother, but the more we spoke to them, the more we realized they're both really going to need help at home. And there's certain rules. Even if you have two people that need help, if you're going to look for community Medicaid, you have to do it for both people. And there has to be two different sets of caregivers. So we were talking about how to get them the most care that they could, because she seemed to think that she could get them each 12-hour care, which means that they would have around-the-clock care, but only, you know, the caregivers would be off and on.
Right, right. Yeah, there's another case we're working on, too, where the same caregiver can take care of both people.
Right.
Right, legally under the Medicaid program.
Right, so they have two caregivers.
So they have to have two caregivers, right, one for each.
Which is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, because you'd be kind of like tripping over each other. But
that's right.
But, you know, as long as the people get the care, that's really all that matters. And that's what we're looking for, is try to help people stay home, because the last place anyone wants to go is a nursing home.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, we have Grace from Colony. Good morning, Grace.
Hi. Since I own my own house, I was wondering if anything ever happened to me.
Grace, can you turn your radio down?
Yes. I'm sorry.
That's okay. We just kind of got an echo in here.
Well, anyways, if anything ever happened to me, and would the house automatically go to my brother?
So are you talking about passing away, or talking about going into a nursing home, or?
No, I mean, just if I passed away.
If you passed away, if you don't have a will, what they do is they look to see who your intestate distributees would be. So they'd look to see if you have a spouse. Do you have a spouse?
No.
Do you have children?
No, I'm sorry.
Are your parents still alive?
No.
Then it would go down to brothers and sisters. So is your brother your only sibling?
That's all. Yeah, just one.
So as a matter of law, after it went through all the different levels, it would go to your brother.
Oh, regardless that his name is not on the deed?
Regardless, yeah. They'd have to go through the courts and do what's called an administration proceeding. Someone would have to be appointed administrator, probably your brother, because he'd be your next of kin. And then he could distribute the house to himself. Probably what you might want to do is, if the house is all you're concerned about, is at least have a simple will that says where you want things to go and who you want to be in charge. Just makes it a lot easier on the back end. If you don't want the house to go through probate, then another option would be a trust. Then the trust would just terminate whenever you passed away, and then whomever the backup trustee was would just distribute the assets.
Would a lawyer, I have a lawyer, would that be easier on me?
It would be easier on the people that you leave behind if you have a trust. Does your lawyer do estate planning?
Does she want?
Is your lawyer like a generic lawyer that does lots of different types of law, or is it somebody that specializes in estate planning? Is it a general practitioner, or is it someone that has a specific law that they practice? I know we may have lost her.
We may have lost her, that's right. Well, I think what you were getting at, Debbie, is if it's someone who, you need a specialist in this, if she wanted to think about a trust. It's a little bit above, like, just doing a general will. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure you have a lawyer who has done those before and who is experienced in doing those.
Excellent point. So she could also deed it to her brother with a reserve life estate, but we generally don't suggest that, because then you're kind of opening yourself up to all the things that can happen in their life.
That's right. That has a lot of drawbacks.
It does.
So you need someone who can go through the pros and cons of both with you.
Definitely. So that'd be a great thing, and if her attorney does not do estate planning, she could always come into the office. We do offer free initial consultations, and she could give the office a call at 518-465-7581, and that's the phone number at the office. Again, it's 518-465-7581, and extension 126 is Stacy's extension, and she could put some time on any of the attorney's calendars for you to come in and meet with us on estate planning.
That's right. And if you want to call into the show, we'd love to have some more questions, 518-476-5900, or toll free at 1-800-WROW-590.
And we've gotten a lot of interesting cases in the office, and we have a meeting on Fridays with our Medicaid paralegals and the attorneys, and we all kind of sit down and discuss cases that we have and kind of bounce them off each other. And it was kind of interesting yesterday. We had several that were kind of like bouncing around and a lot of different fact patterns.
Right, not the kind of usual, you know, run-of-the-mill, so to speak, right?
Not the usual, and that's the kind we like. The ones that, you know, you have to stretch your brain and actually, you know, Dave was saying, you know, if if anybody can get somebody on community Medicaid, it's us.
Right. We love a challenge, right? We love to go through different ways to approach it.
Yeah. And we have Suzanne from Glenville. Good morning, Suzanne.
Good morning. I have a very, very sad question.
Oh, no.
My sister in New Hampshire died very suddenly without a will, an up-to-date will. Her will named somebody who's already deceased before her. And she has one daughter. And she has a house that she got that, what's it called, reverse mortgage on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Is that going to really complicate things for the daughter?
Well, it depends. So a reverse mortgage is it's kind of just like a regular mortgage. When you die, you have to see how much is owed on the mortgage.
Uh-huh.
And if the house is worth more than the balance on the mortgage, then you will get some of that money back when the house is sold. So it depends on what the balance is. Of course, if the balance is equal to the value of the house, then the mortgage company is just going to get everything.
And if she wanted to keep the house, because she's got three little kids that mm-hmm. might like to have it someday, she'll have to pay off that reverse mortgage.
Yes, she'd have to pay off that mortgage and get financing herself, right?
Okay, she can't just keep going along with the reverse mortgage.
No, you used to be able to assume mortgages, but no, most banks don't let someone take over another mortgage. You have to pay it off, and then you have to get your own loan.
Especially a reverse, because it has specific things. You have to be a certain age. Right. Everybody in the household has to be a certain age. It's very specific. So
yeah. They
would have to refinance it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. That's kind of what we were thinking might be the case.
Yeah. So, and as far as the old will goes, if the person that they appointed had passed away and there's no backups, then they're almost better off doing, well, we don't do New Hampshire law, but...
Right, we don't.
I would think that an administration proceeding would probably be what you would
probably
do.
Probably be pretty similar there. That's right. And now we have another caller. We have Linda in Menands.
Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. So, I don't so much as have a question as, I hate to say advice, but there's people in my age group. I just turned 59. We just went through this with my mother, and my mother was in Virginia. And I cannot stress enough, as much as people don't like to talk about it, have that hard conversation with your parents while they're still of sound mind. A lot of times they don't want to deal with it. And it's one tough conversation for them to get their papers in order and know where they're at. And then if you have other siblings, just here I'm up in New York and they're all in Virginia, we coordinated the care and just kept an email chain going so everybody was on the same page. And their caregiver, the caregivers for my mother, kept a logbook that my dad could look in it and things like this. And it just helped so much. There wasn't 10,000 conversations going back and forth. Everybody knew what was going on, and it made things a lot easier.
That's great advice. We appreciate that, because that's what we try to get people to do. It's not so easy, though. Like you said, people don't want to talk about it.
No, and especially, I mean, culturally, my mother came from the islands, and my own father was killed when I was younger. And it was like, if I talk about it, it's going to happen. And I'm like, Mom, you didn't talk about it, and it happened.
Exactly.
This is happening, you know, and if you don't, just think about it, and if you put it in the framework, make it easier for your kids. Then their mindset changes.
It does, and definitely.
They will say, okay, let me do this to help my kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. It definitely helps to know what your parents want ahead of time while they still, like you said, have the capacity to do it, right? To make up documents and write down things that they want done.
Then if one survives the other, my stepfather is a wonderful man. I mean, he marries a widow with six children. he took care of her to her last breath. I got to go in, which is no problem. I stopped, we need to redo your will. He said, no, because your mom's not here. I said, no problem. If mom's on the will, it's going to be a problem in Virginia, because it's a commonwealth. And it was a tough conversation. And he went, and also, if your parents served, I'm a Marine Corps veteran, my stepfather is a veteran, call the local family program. They have transitional assistance, all free advice to help you get any kind of care, legal advice, things like this. If you rate it, and even if you don't rate it, they'll tell you, like, they have resources for you.
Right, so through the VA.
There's a lot of information there.
Mm-hmm. It's a great resource.
It's a, yeah, so the every place has a, like, I work for the New York National Guard. There's transitional assistance for retiring somebody in, you know, last stages of life, somebody who's passed away. So we have those services there for you.
Wow, we really appreciate you calling in. It's great information.
You're very welcome. It's a long drive to Queensbury. I'm going to drill.
Well, enjoy your drive.
Thank you so much, and I think this is a really great topic.
Oh, thank you very much.
Last thing, if you're a credit union, like I belong to Capcom, they do retirement and estate planning workshops all the time. Hit one up.
Sounds good.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you. Wow. It's nice that we get some advice from other people, because sometimes we don't know everything that's going on either.
Right. But that advice is great, is really to talk about it ahead of time, get everyone as much as you can on the same page. You know, it sounds in her case like all her siblings were on the same page. You know, as you know, many times we see cases where the siblings are not on the same page.
Definitely not. And unfortunately, that happens a lot when someone passes away.
Yes.
I was talking to some people last night, and they said that the father passed away, mom was already gone, the father passed away, and they were just going to let everything settle out, and they went in, and one of the other family members had literally ransacked the house, and it's not like they were just looking for stuff and putting things, they literally were taking stuff out of the cabinets and just leaving it on the counter.
Just leaving it, making a mess.
So it looked like someone had robbed the house.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, so, I mean, that was obviously a huge rift in the family, because there were certain things that, you know, he had said, you know, or grandma had said whenever she passed away, you know, when she passed away, he kept everything. And then when he went, it was supposed to go out to specific grandchildren. And apparently there was nothing left to go to the other grandchildren because the other family kind of ransacked the house. So it happens. I mean, it happens in the best of families. So if you're specific and you have your documents together and you say, this is where you want things to go, it makes it a lot easier. And maybe there won't be so many rifts in the family after.
Yeah, it certainly is, it helps to have it written down so you know what that individual wanted, rather than the children sitting around and guessing, right?
Right, exactly.
Saying, mom wanted me to have the ring. No, I have the ring, right?
So that's right. But I have the ring.
Actually, that happened. It was pretty sad. It was a long time ago. Our neighbor, one of our neighbors, was sick. And I went over. We were helping them out. And it was a second marriage, of course.
Mm.
So it's always the second marriage versus the first kids, you know? And the children went in and took the ring from mom while she was dying, basically.
Oh.
Because they wanted the ring, but it wasn't like the ring that their dad had given them. It was the ring that the second husband had given.
Oh.
So the second husband found out, was furious, wanted to get the ring back. And I mean, and why should you be fighting about this at this time?
Right? Exactly.
Right. So families do awful things.
Yes, they do. And, you know, having documents isn't going to cure everything, but it gives people direction as to where you want things to go. Another situation that I've had come up in the last couple of weeks, documents that we've done years ago, people that did plan ahead, but people that did them like 20 years ago, a lot of people appointed each other as power of attorney, and then they have the kids as backup. So it's a dad, then child one, child two, child three. Well, what's happening is mom and dad we're both about the same age. They're both aging out, right?
Right.
And they really need someone to step up and take care of things for them. So I'm having to do a lot of new powers of attorney for people that are still competent. Mm-hmm. And if they're not competent, you know, there's really no options.
Right.
Or a lot of times if they're competent, rather than redoing the documents, they're doing a resignation.
Right.
They're resigning as power of attorney so the kids can step up. So that's something you've got to think about, because 20 years ago, mom and dad thought, well, you know, I want to act. We're going to act for each other. But now it's really not.
Which is why we say to come in at least, you know, about every 5 years, just to review your documents, make sure everything's still okay. Because like most people, you probably sign your estate planning, and then you put it in a drawer or file cabinet, and you don't ever think about it again.
Yep. If you want to be our next caller, we've got time right before the break. If you want to call at 518-476-5900, That's 518-476-5900 or toll free at 1-800-WROW-590.
Right, so you need to check it, you know, if things change in your life, if someone passes away, one of your children gets divorced, you know, that's really a good time to look over your documents and make sure everything's okay.
I like that, the one about the divorce. That's always interesting because a lot of people will have their daughter as like number one executor and her husband as number two executor. And then something happens in the marriage and then the parents like 10 years later go, oh my gosh.
That's right. He's still in there. Right?
He's still in there.
That's right. We gotta get him out.
Or sometimes it's like, we still have a good relationship, so we'll just leave him in there. And it's like, okay.
Right. So that's right. How does your daughter feel about that?
Exactly. How does your daughter feel about that? But I mean, it happens.
It does. And you don't always think about that. This is something you should update, right? You figure it's all done. But if you think about it every couple of years, you know, like you said, now when you're seeing your family around the holidays, that can trigger, you know, a discussion about this.
Or if you have someone that you've appointed that's been diagnosed with dementia or Alzheimer's, that might be somebody that you don't want acting as your power of attorney. So you might want to redo your docs.
We have Suzanne back from Glenville. Her call dropped out earlier.
Okay.
Suzanne?
Suzanne, you there?
Oh, it probably helps if I put the line on.
Okay. There you go.
Let's try that. Suzanne?
Hi.
There she is.
Yeah, you were in the middle of a sentence when I lost you, or you lost me. do you remember what the sentence was? It was about paying. Oh, yeah. It was about the reverse mortgage. Mm-hmm. And you said, yeah, they'd have to go get a whole new mortgage.
Right, yes. They'd have to refinance it because they can't assume. A reverse mortgage cannot be assumed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they definitely would have
then
to.
Then my follow-up question was, she was married to a second for her, and he had children from a previous marriage. If she named that person in her will and he's gone, are his kids going to be coming and saying they're entitled to the house?
It depends on what the document says. Right. It really does. Sometimes if you say, I leave it to my spouse, this is in second marriages. That's why you've really got to be careful, because a lot of times, let's just say it's a second marriage. One person has two kids from a prior marriage. The other one has two from a prior marriage. And you leave it to each other and then you leave it to your issue. Right. Yeah. But you don't mention the other person's kids. Then it's going to go to your kids, not his kids, because unless you've adopted your stepchildren, they're not your kids.
No, she didn't.
Yeah, so more than likely, depending on her documents, unless she said in her documents, I leave everything to my husband, if my husband predeceases me, to our issue, and for the purposes of this will, my husband's children shall be treated as my issue, then they wouldn't take. There would have to be specific language in her will for them to take.
Okay. Well, nobody's seen that will. They don't even know if it was an official legal will, so I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, so it's kind of a wait and see. I mean, if she didn't have a will, then, now this was it New York?
New Hampshire.
I mean, in New York, if you don't have a will, then again, as we were talking about earlier, it goes to intestate distributee. So it would go, there's no spouse, it would go down to kids. And so her kids would not include his.
Mm-hmm. And that takes a long time.
It takes a while. Probate does take a while. It depends on where you are. And again, we don't practice in New Hampshire. In New York, you can't close up an estate for like 7 months. So you can distribute assets, but you can't close it for 7 months. So you're looking at about a year.
Oh, my gosh. And the daughter lives overseas, and her three little kids, they live overseas.
That just makes it that much easier, hard. Right?
So, okay. Well, thank you very much.
No problem. Good luck.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
It's a busy morning for phone calls.
And it's all women.
Yes,
again, remember again, that?
We have that power. Right.
Don't make me go there.
We have Michelle in Albany. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. Question. You just said you can't close out an estate for what, 7 to a year?
7 months.
7 months.
Mm-hmm. So
I'm sorry.
What if on the estate that they left or they... loan money to people, and they're supposed to be paying it back, and they're not paying it back. Can you still close out the estate if that is still ongoing?
Well, Well, first, it's not that common for an estate to make a loan, but you're saying this estate loaned money to people?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, no, the estate couldn't be closed until all that money is paid back and returned.
Okay, and then what about for the beneficiaries of the estate? I happen to be an executor of an estate. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm asking these questions.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, what happens with you being an executor is you have a fiduciary responsibility to the beneficiaries and to the people that owe money to the estate. So did they owe money to the person before they passed away?
Yes.
Okay. So it would be your duty to collect those monies and then make the distributions to the beneficiaries. So with the
right.
7-month
but
rule.
But if they're not paying and they're not paying off and they're saying they don't owe it or they're just not paying. One said that they owe it, but they're not paying it.
Then you're going to have to bring an action against them.
Right.
It really doesn't, you don't really have any, you'd have to bring a court action against them to compel
right.
them to pay.
Okay, so then for the court action, but then in order to pay the beneficiaries, if it was supposed to be paid from that money, am I responsible to pay it out prior to that being settled?
Not if there's no money. I mean, if that's the money that's supposed to pay them, so.
Well, the money, well, the estate, there was a house. The house was left to me. The house was sold. So now they're requesting that I pay them, but the house was supposed to come to me. So do I have to pay the beneficiaries out of the funds from the money that was sold or the house that was sold?
Not if it was a specific bequest, no. If it was specifically to you, it's not
yes.
part of the residuary, so no.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
It's crazy. I know this one was a crazy one because most people don't lend money to friends. But
yeah, most people
luckily
don't.
He had documentation for it, so.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. Thank you.
Well, good luck. And we'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, and Flatbush Road in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, Harry, or Debbie, please call us during normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office at 518-581-8131. Or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help you navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
And we're back for the second half hour. We've got like two calls holding. I'm Debbie Verney from the Herzog Law Firm, and we have...
I am J. Marie Schaefer.
And we have Maureen from Niskayuna. Good morning, Maureen.
Hi, good morning. I just had a question. I'm going to be 66. My husband's going to be 68. We're both still working. This whole Social Security thing, if he holds off and doesn't start collecting until he's 70, and I start collecting at 66, he can collect on mine until he's 70? Do I have that right?
That's something called file. That's an option that they're phasing out, and it's only limited to people who are born between certain years.
Yeah.
So I think you may still be able to do that, but you would need to double check on that because they're cutting out the ability to do that.
Yeah, I know that people. I know I can't do that.
Right, I know I can't. We can't. That's
so, you know, that might be actually Dave Kopeck's on after us, and usually that's more of a financial planner question for collect and defer or something like that.
Yes,
I think is what it's called, and you might want to give Dave a call after at 9 o'clock because he probably has some information on that, or I think. Ben, don't you have the Social Security Administration that comes on?
We do. We have Elizabeth Pavanka from the Social Security Administration first Tuesday of every month at 8:30 in the morning on the Jay and Ben Show.
Okay. Well, yeah, because I've called Social Security and you're on the phone forever.
Right.
And I've tried to find it online. Okay. Thank you.
Well, you know, if not, if you can't get the answer, I know, you'll like this one. I know someone that knows the answer to that.
We have people.
We have people. So you can you can give me a call on Monday at the office, and I can give you the person. We have people that know the answer to that. So you can give me a call at the office on Monday morning. The phone number at the office is 465-7581, area code 518. Again, it's 518-465-7581. And I'm in extension 122. And just tell them you were on the radio, and then I'll tell you someone to call.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Have a great weekend. Mark from Clifton Park. Good morning, Mark.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Question is, we found my father-in-law is in his 90s, and we're wondering about when the time comes to put him in a nursing home or other assisted care. We found some bonds from the 70s, and they're made out to my father-in-law and either my wife, which is his daughter, or my brother-in-law. If they say or on their his name or my wife or brother-in-law, is that either person's bond, or is that part of his estate that Medicare will look at to, you know, get their money before Medicare kicks in?
Well, so that's, well, it has or on there. That's a joint asset.
Okay.
Okay. So for joint assets, they are still going to count that.
But they would count it as half.
Right. Yeah, because he is a part owner on that.
Okay.
So, you know, they're not going to count the whole thing, you know.
Right.
But they're going to count part of it. Right.
Okay. So, would it be 50-50 or?
Yes.
Is it? Okay, so
you would want to, you would want to see, depending on how much money that is, you know, even though he's in his 90s, you know, you may still want to think about planning, you know, maybe getting that money out of his name if it's a sizable amount, right? There may still be some planning you could do with that.
Okay, and one other quick question. My brother-in-law is disabled. My father-in-law is living with us. My brother-in-law is living in his house. Do you know if legally he's disabled, they would take the house?
No, there's exemptions for making.
Okay.
He doesn't live with him, though, right?
Oh, I'm thinking exemption for a transfer to a disabled child.
Right. He could transfer it to the disabled child, right? Even though he's not living with him.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. As long as he can prove he's, you know, has a disability, and he may even be able to transfer some of the funds to him, some of the money to him.
I see. Okay.
You have to use a trust.
He's got a
different
Social
trust.
Security disability letter.
Okay, so that would be, you'd be able to make some transfers.
Okay.
In terms of the money, you'd have to transfer it to a trust for him, because now if he gets the money, your brother-in-law, he's not going to be eligible for benefits anymore.
Right.
So there's a lot of moving parts to that.
I see. I see. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
So see, that's one of those cool fact patterns that a lot of people don't know. That, because whenever Jane Marie was talking, she's like, disabled child. And I was thinking, no, he lives with them, but it's disabled versus caregiver child.
Yes, that's right.
Because you can also transfer the house to a caregiver child without triggering a look back period. So this is a situation where we would love to meet with someone. That's why we offer the free consultation, so that we can sit down and say, okay, what type of bonds are they?
Right.
Are they E-bonds, where they aren't gaining any more interest? Are they double E-bonds? Are they I-bonds? What kind of bonds are they? How they're held? What part of the asset would be considered his? What would be the joint person's?
That's
what kind of tax ramifications it would be to cash them in?
Right, because you may have to pay tax on the interest, depending on the type.
Right.
Well, you would have to pay tax on the interest. So you want to see if, you know, which is worse, right? The tax hit or having the money available.
To pay for the care.
To pay for the care, so.
Yeah, it's definitely something you'd want to look at all the different moving pieces. And you could be our next caller. It finally just, like, died off.
518-476-5900.
That's 518-476-5900. Or 1-800-WROW-590, which is toll-free.
And as we said before, we have seminars coming up this week. They're on aging in place. And they're going to be this Tuesday, December 10th at 2 o'clock at the Queensberry Hotel in Glens Falls. On Wednesday, December 11th at 10 o'clock at the Courtyard by Marriott on Washington Avenue. On Wednesday, December 11th, again at 2 o'clock, and that's at the Staybridge Suites on Wolf Road. That's the one across from the Macy's in the parking lot.
Right. If you were standing in, if you're standing at the men's department doors,
if you look out, you would see.
Look out, you would see Staybridge all the way across the parking lot. Staybridge is not in the mall.
Right.
It's just adjacent to the parking lot.
It's kind of hidden back there.
Yeah, it's hidden back there.
And then on Thursday, December 12th at 2 o'clock at the Holiday Inn in Saratoga Springs.
Right, so we would love for you guys to come in and listen to the presentation. We have cookies and coffee and other drinks, and it usually takes about an hour. You can come in, sit down, listen to the presentation. If you have questions, Kim is always a wealth of knowledge.
Yes.
To give people information as to what's available and what kind of programs you can get. And
cookies.
And you get cookies. Cookies are good. We like the cookies.
Oh, great.
We have a call. We have George from Gilderland. Good morning, George.
Good morning. I have a couple of questions concerning estate planning. I was hoping you could help me out.
Okay.
The first question concerns putting a life insurance policy in a trust. We were told that since it has a cash value, that would be a good idea to put into a trust. So the reason why I got the life insurance policy was that so that my wife would have some protection, you know, after I pass away. But if the insurance policy is in a trust, then would my wife get the money, or how does that pay out after?
That's a hard call. I've had this discussion with clients, and sometimes, like you said, you have the insurance to help her with her living expenses. So
right.
So if you keep her as the beneficiary on the policy, let me back up a second. You can have the trust own the policy, right? But then you can have different people be the beneficiaries. So you could either keep your wife as the beneficiary. That means she gets the funds. But now she has those funds. So if she needs care down the road, she may have too much money, right? On the other hand, if you make the trust the beneficiary, the money goes into the trust. It's protected. Now, if she needs money, she could take money out of the trust by doing a partial revocation. So kind of depends on which route you want to go. The second way is much more protected. And she just takes out money as she needs it.
All right. So that would be to have the trust as the beneficiary?
That's right. Have the money go into the trust. And then if she does need money, she would have to go to the trustee and the beneficiaries and have them all sign the partial revocation.
Okay. All right, thank you. And another question is that if you have your house in a trust, are you eligible for an enhanced STAR tax reduction from New York State?
Yes, you are. Well, because the trusts say that you keep a life use of the house, so that's enough for you to still qualify for those real estate tax exemptions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a trust is a great vehicle to use to protect assets, and if you reserve the life use in it, the language in the trust says you're still responsible to pay for all the upkeep, you're responsible to pay out for all the taxes and everything, and because you're still responsible to pay them, then you can still keep the exemptions that you get.
Okay, but what if it says, I thought the way it was set up by New York was that the trustees would be considered owners of the house.
They're not, because the trustees, you can change the trustees anytime you want to. So we always, and basically the trustees, I always tell people, your trustees are basically your employees. You can fire them anytime you want to.
Right.
So they really have no vested interest. And then people say, well, the beneficiaries are the owners, right, of the trust. But they're not, because it was one of those legal terms, you're vested subject to divestment, meaning I can change my beneficiaries anytime I want to. So if the person I've got as a beneficiary, I decide I don't want to give them money anymore. I can change that. So the owners are still the grantors that set up the trust. So it's still based on their exemptions.
Great. Great. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye now.
You know, that gets confusing.
It does. That's right. Because the trust is the owner on paper, but because of your life use, you still keep a lot of the ownership rights.
Just like when you do a deed.
That's right.
When you do a deed with reserve life use, you still get all of your STAR exemption, enhanced STAR, veterans exemptions.
That's right.
So you just got to make sure it's worded correctly.
That's right. It has to say so correctly on the deed or in the trust.
Definitely. Or you don't get them. So we'd love to hear from you guys. If you want to give us a call at 518-476-5900 or toll-free 1-800-WROW-590. And Jay Marie did mention that we have the Tuesday, December 10th at 2 in the afternoon at Queensbury Hotel in Glens Falls. Wednesday, December 11th at 10 a.m. at the Courtyard by Marriott on Washington Ave. Wednesday, December 11th at 2 in the afternoon at Staybridge Suites on Wolf Road in Albany, adjacent to Colony Center. And Thursday, December 12th at 2 in the afternoon at the Holiday Inn in Saratoga Springs. Those seminars are on aging in place. We would love for you guys to come out and see us. And
I checked the forecast. I don't see any snow this week, so you should be able to make them all.
That's it. Definitely go to them all. Get the cookies.
I actually do see rain coming up this week, so get your rain gear out if you're coming.
Well, you know, as long as it doesn't freeze, that's all we care about.
Oh, no, it's going to be warm. Wait, I sound like the weather person, Ben. Am I right?
You do.
I know.
Just going to be quiet. 9 o'clock, you can do it for me.
Can I do the weather? Yeah.
Sure, that's good.
Well, see, I hate the snow so much. I'm like watching the weather to see when it will melt.
Good luck.
Yeah. Not going to melt 2 feet of snow that quickly.
No, definitely not.
That's right. So aging in place. So come learn about how you can stay home. You know, as we said, most people would rather stay at home. This is a conversation that's good to have with your parents, maybe something hard to bring up. But to get them to start thinking about, you know, where they would want to be as they get older, so that you can gently help them, you know, make plans for that. See if they want to stay at home. See if they would want to move to an assisted living. See if, you know, one of the children's going to volunteer to have them move in with them. There's lots of different options, and it's kind of better to know in advance so you can plan for that.
My mom has a friend that my mom keeps saying to me, and I can say this because mom's in Missouri. No one knows who I'm talking about. Anyway, she says, I don't know why she's not in assisted living. She goes, but I say to her, why aren't you in assisted living? You know, you can't really get around. She kind of wheels herself in a wheelchair through the house. She can't walk real well. And she's like, well, you know, the kids tell me they don't want me to spend my money on assisted living.
Boy.
Right? So then my mom talks to the kids because we grew up together. So she knows the kids. And they're like, Mom won't spend the money. She doesn't want to go to, you know. So basically, so it's kind of like, I'm like, well, in the middle someplace, there's an actual story.
Right.
You know, as I'd say probably the kids want her to get care and she doesn't want to leave the house.
Yeah.
So that would be a prime candidate
for home care.
Because she doesn't want to leave the home. The kids really don't need her money. They don't want her money. They want her to be happy and healthy.
They don't want her to be left alone either. So.
Yeah, but that's her excuse, right? She doesn't want to, you know, the kids don't want me to spend the money. They want me, they want to inherit it. But it's kind of like, my mom's like, look, anything happens to me, I'm in assisted living. You know, it's like.
She's practical.
She goes, I don't need all this stuff.
That's good.
Give me some services. You know, assisted living or even senior living, they have really great things going on. I mean,
It's not so bad. You and I have visited several assisted living facilities, and I think we have our rooms reserved, right?
Right, definitely. Well, I've got steps, you know. I've got the senior living first.
Okay, senior living.
And then maybe the assisted living.
Oh, right. I think it's a senior living place that we like.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. You know, we're like, we could live here.
That's right.
So,
they have a hair salon. They have a bar.
They have a movie theater.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It's all in one. So they even have your own little cabinet for your own liquor. It's really nice.
Yes,
in the bar. Yeah. So you can give us a call at 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900 or 1-800-WROW-590. So we've got a few minutes left before the end of the show. Again, please come out and see us at the seminars. We'd love to see you guys. It's always great to have people that come in and they ask great questions.
That's right.
And it inspires other people, you know.
Sometimes you're a little bit afraid to ask a question in a group, right? You may kind of sit towards the back.
Yeah.
No one sits in the front row.
Nobody sits in the front row. And then, you know, a lot of people can come up afterwards and ask specific questions.
Right, which they do. And then, you know, as you get more in depth, then there you can come in for a consultation to get a whole hour. So
definitely. I have a client that came in about a month ago, and he knows who he is because he's probably listening right now. And I said to him, I really appreciate when you call in with good questions. And he's like, you know, I can't do that anymore because people recognize my voice. And I said, that's fine. Then you don't have to call in. You can just call me at the office if you have questions.
That's right, questions.
He has a very distinctive voice.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, give us a call at 518-476-5900 or 1-800-WROW-590. And if you want to attend one of the seminars next week, give Stacy a call, or you can go online at www.herzoglaw.com and register there. Or again, give Stacy a call at the office at 518-465-7581, and she's at extension 126.
So, you know, we talk a lot about getting care at home, but, you know, getting care at home isn't always for everyone.
Right.
So we do talk about all your other options.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes assisted living is a better option, for example.
Oh, definitely.
Or a nursing home. What's great about this is it's unique to you, right?
Definitely.
Tailored to meet your needs and what, based on your family situation and where you want to be.
And your financial situation.
And your financial situation, too. That's right. Some people are very social, so they don't really want to stay at home.
Mm-hmm.
They prefer the assisted living where there's a lot of activities going on.
Definitely. And you've got to find the right place for you. Now we have Janet from Albany County. Janet?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. I have a question. If a family member is providing care to an elderly person, is that caregiver allowed to be paid out of the assets of the person they're providing care to without it affecting the look-back period?
Yes, you can, but you need to have a caregiver agreement in place so that it's documented. So the agreement, it's just similar to if you went out and hired someone you didn't know, right? And this agreement says, I'm going to provide caregiving services to you at X amount of dollars per hour, you know, and both parties sign that agreement. And then you have to treat it as an agreement and keep track of your hours every week on a timesheet. And if you do that, then when Medicaid does do the look back, they're going to treat that as just payments for services and not gifts.
Oh, is there a maximum hourly rate that can be paid to that provider?
It has to be reasonable. So I say for it to be reasonable, look at what it would be if you had to go hire that person privately.
Okay, and where would one go to set up that caregiver agreement?
You can, we do those. So
oh, okay.
You can give our office a call on Monday. That's 518-465-7581. And you can ask to speak to Stacy and she can set up an appointment.
Terrific. Okay, thanks very much.
You're welcome. Have a great weekend. You know, that's a great question. Whenever we were talking to people this week, you can actually, even if a person is on community Medicaid,
mm-hmm.
you can have Medicaid pay a family member to care for you. It can't be a spouse,
mm-hmm.
but you can have a family member care for you and they can get paid, but you have to be registered through Medicaid, and then Medicaid would pay for that person to take care of you.
Yeah, so that's another option. You can pay privately out of your assets, or if you don't, we could do planning to save some of those assets, and then Medicaid could pay the family member to take care of you.
Also, another kind of caveat, as far as having people in your home that you're private paying, you have to be very careful with payroll.
Yes.
Because what happens is you have someone that is caring for your loved one, and then all of a sudden
They throw their back out,
yeah.
That's actually the most common injury, so
yeah.
That's why.
So they throw their back out, they end up going to the hospital. The hospital mm-hmm. says, what were you doing that you threw your back out? Oh, I was lifting such and such. And they're like, oh, so you're working. And so then all of a sudden, they're putting in a disability claim, and mm-hmm. you don't have any disability insurance because You've been just writing the person.
You were paying
check.
Them off the books. That's
yeah.
right.
So you have to be very, very careful with that. We've got a lot of people that have signed up through payroll services to mm-hmm. get paid just to protect themselves from liability.
Yeah, that's definitely worth it than, you know, paying a few bucks left less to pay them off the books, because that can go away very quickly if there's yes. a claim against you.
Exactly. It can. And the person, think about it, they're not really building anything for their future because they're not paying any Social Security.
Right.
They're not paying for disability. They're not paying taxes.
That's right.
So there's really nothing accruing there for their future.
So it is good for both sides once you show them what the benefits are.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. But again, if you have questions about aging in place, you have questions about estate planning, you got the opportunity to either make an appointment for a free consult at the office, or you can come to one of the seminars next week. I think we'll have seminars in January, too, that are on just basic estate planning.
So if you miss this one, you can come in January.
Yeah, I think we've almost got those set up.
That's right, soon.
It's like no one wants to. It's like, oh, it's next year already.
That's, yes, 2020.
2020.
Seems very far into the future.
It does, but it's not.
It's not.
No, it's not. So, again, next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we have seminars. You can see them on our website at www.herzoglaw.com. And come in, have some cookies, have some coffee.
Warm up.
That's but like you said, it's not going to be that cold.
It's not going to be that cold this week. You can certainly come out right? in the middle of your shopping.
Yeah, that's definitely something I got to get done.
Right. I don't know if you're doing the one by Macy's, but you could go shopping there.
No, I'm doing the one in Saratoga.
Yeah, okay.
So, nope, no shopping for me afterwards. What can I say? So, give our office a call if you'd like to set up an appointment. The phone number for the office is 518-465-7581. Stacy's at extension 126. You can put time on any of the attorney's calendars to meet on estate planning, estate administration, Medicaid planning, kind of a one-stop shopping as far as that goes.
That's right.
And this is the time of year. Again, it's not exactly, you know, dinner table conversation. Hey, Matt, pass the mashed potatoes. Do you have a will?
That's right. But if you're home for a while, you know, it's something to bring up or, you know, and you're also going to see things. So
right.
there are certain things you should look out for if you don't live locally and you're coming home to visit your parents. You want to kind of look and see, has anything started to change with their mental capacity, their physical capacity? You know, how is their driving?
How is their food, like going through their cabinets in the refrigerator?
That's right.
You know, is there spoiled food?
That's
right. You look through their fridge, is it empty? Is their refrigerator
right.
empty?
Are they buying food? That's right.
Right. Is the house clean? Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't have to be spotless, but are they keeping up on things? Is the laundry kept up?
That's right. Are there changes from how it was before?
Right.
Are they paying their bills timely?
Exactly.
You may see past due notices or calls from credit cards or something like that.
Or big stacks of mail that's unopened. That's
yes.
a huge.
That's another one, right?
Yeah. So things that you should look at over the holidays. And you want to make sure that you keep your family safe. So, you know, even though you think you may be being a little bit nosy, mm-hmm. you know, because usually the parents are like, yeah, this is my stuff. Stay out.
Mm-hmm. I can handle
things.
Sometimes
you have to.
I'm okay. Right.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to do this because you want to protect your family and your parents and make sure that you're doing what's best for them.
A good test is probably to get in the car with them, go get groceries and see how they drive.
My mom always lets me drive.
Oh, okay. So
But it's not that she's not a good driver. It's just
she knows that.
She just likes to be chauffeured around.
Oh, okay.
It has nothing to deal with her skill set. She'd just rather me drive so that she can hang out. So,
I remember my father-in-law, when he was getting bad driving, he was not parking between the lines. He was parking like at an angle, taking up two spots.
Well, that was so no one hit the car.
Yeah, sure.
Exactly. It wasn't because I can't get it between the lines. It's because I'm protecting my car.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They're doing that. It's time to have a conversation.
It's definitely time to have a conversation. So, Jay Marie, you've been parking over the line.
Oh.
By the way, our parking spaces,
yes.
It's not her fault. The parking spaces at Corporate Woods are not straight.
Yes, I know. They painted the lines crooked, so I always look like I can't drive.
No, you can drive. You can't park.
Oh, okay. That's right.
And you're directionally deficient.
Yes, that's right.
That is not helpful either.
Well, so don't call my sons and let them know. They're going to take the keys away from me.
Then she won't be able to make it to work. So that would be bad.
That's right.
Yeah, that would be tough in your early 50s to just be done.
That's right.
Sorry, Mom, we've had to move you.
They already, they're terrible. They don't like to drive with me. They like to drive instead.
Uh-huh.
So we're coming up on the end of the show. Again, we have seminars next week. If you want to get in on one of the seminars, either go to the website at www.herzoglaw.com and register, or call Stacy at the office at 518-465-7581. She's at extension 126, and she can put you on the list. And as you can see, it's very low-key. We entertain ourselves by telling stories about ourselves and our families, too. It's a very low-key presentation, but it's great information to have, especially for yourself and for your aging loved ones.
Yeah, we have a lot of, I like to see when a parent comes with their child together. So they're really...
Adult children.
Yes, not little children. That's right.
Little children aren't entertained. They do like the cookies, but, you know, they're not entertained.
Yeah, we don't usually have little kids at least. But we have little kids in our office a lot sometimes.
We do, and they're cute.
So, yeah, so if you come with your adult children, it's a really good opportunity for you both to learn this at the same time. So now you know what you both have to plan to do, because it's always better to have more information than that. I mean, when I do the estate side, it's horrible when someone comes in and says, I have no idea.
You know, right.
After someone's passed away, I have no idea what my parents had. And someone just came in this week and they said, we went through 7 boxes of stuff before we got the stuff that we brought in to see you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they still don't even know if that's correct or not correct.
No, and it's a good time of year to start looking at things, because all of the 1099s and stuff will come in from accounts and stuff like that, so you can actually try to figure out where their money is.
Yeah. It's kind of telling if you're, again, another sign, like our elderly clients, well, where do you have your bank accounts, you know? Oh, I don't know. I have money in a checking, but I'm not sure where. Yeah, actually, one lady said that.
Guys, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next weekend.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.